The new music show on Factiz Radio with Kieran Thompson.
The original broadcast of this conversation with Fife Dangerfield contained a heavy amount of copyrighted music, which unfortunately we cannot present on streaming platforms. However, if you do want to hear the version which was broadcast with music from Fife's back catalogue, including content from the Birdwatcher series and Guillemot's music, then you can go to mixcloud.com/Vectis Radio iPlayer.
Calling out to all the human, you cats and dogs and clowns. Calling out to all of you, you must have heard it by now. Calling you all story boys, can you write me a part somehow? Calling you all story boys, you must have heard me by now. I know you're wrong, I know you're right, I know I'm here, I know I might be nowhere else now. I know we're wrong, I know we're right, I know I left something inside you won't retreat now. Calling out to all of you, you cats and dogs and clowns. Calling out to all, must have known it by now. Calling you all story boys, can you write me a date somehow? Calling you all story boys, you must have found it by now. I know you're right, I know you're wrong, I know you're everything I've ever wanted to say now. I know you're in the aperture, I know you're in the lies you hold, I'm glad you see now.
Fife Dangerfield with Storyboards on the new music show on Vectis Radio. Fife was a guest on the show back in 2020 during the first weeks of lockdown. He spent the 5 years since we last spoke slowly building up music for a project he is calling The Stream, which launched online earlier this week. Now, we'll come back to that in a short while, but Fife was very kind to invite me along to his home studio in northeast London this Wednesday just gone, following a varied and very impressive performance the night before in a nearby venue. So in this hour of the new music show, we're talking to Fife Dangerfield about the music he's created since we last spoke, have a tour of his Stoke Newington studio, and how he has put together over 100 hours of music for his latest project, The Stream. But you have many of these at hand where you can just sort of...
I do, but this is really annoying me now. I really want to find it.
I don't know how effective this is as a radio interview, really, because no one can see what we're looking
interstitial
at.
Interstitial sound, like I say.
Is that what it's called? Interstitial... Yeah.
The interstitial sound is Fife flicking through 25 years of notebooks to show me something very special.
This, it's one of those things, isn't it? Once you've decided that you want to show someone something,
yeah,
you're like, and they're like, mate, I don't really care. But like, no, I've got to show it. You've got
I'd
to show
say
it.
Handwritten lyrics of love songs.
Well, it was quite a nice. Okay, let's have one more.
Did you ever write an advert for like the NME or something to get?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's how. Oh, that's. That's Greg's address. There you go. That was when I got Greg's email. Wow. So this is like... Oh, there you go. Songwriter seeks a live band. Any instruments can sit. This was me trying to figure out what my ad would say.
Maybe we'll find it later. Give it time. Anyway, Fife Dangerfield could be known for a number of musical ventures. Maybe for his time fronting Guillemots, a band who have been on hiatus since 2012, though were Brit Award and Mercury Prize nominated. Or perhaps his solo record, Fly Yellow Moon, given a boost when re-released with a cover of Billy Joel's She's Always a Woman, which charted in the UK Singles Top 10. More recently, we've played Fife's solo work, Birdwatcher, a series of interactive plays from 2018 and 2019, totalling 12 episodes, with an assortment of recorded pieces you could describe as maybe dream pop. But it's probably better described as anything you want it to be.
Describe the scene. How would you describe it?
It is a three-room set in Stoke Newington, north-east London for non-London aficionados.
Yes.
Imagine a really north Portsmouth. It is a studio setup along with a living space. To the left of me, a piano. How old do you think this piano is?
This used to be my main piano, and Charles, my friend Charles from Slow Club, turned me on to the thing of putting drawing pins in the hammers, so yeah. It sounds like sort of, but it's really out of tune now. But yeah, I don't really use it, because I now have a better piano. We have that's a four-track.
Yeah.
Machine, which is nice. A dragonfly with a broken wing. Not a real dragonfly, a metal dragonfly with a broken wing. My trusty Roland Phantom X7. My computer. This keyboard is great. I love this for two reasons. Instead of having a pitch wheel, it has a pitch... it's like a rolling pin. Oh, hang on, it's not working now. But it also has this, which is the best preset button ever. You're kind of in sync with it there. It's amazing.
Through here.
So that was room one. This is room two.
Exactly. This is studio two. So this is now my main piano, which I really love. It was really funny because I was doing in the... When was this? This would have been 2022, the year I was doing these. I was posting a lot of videos of me improvising on the piano.
Yeah.
And then I collected the audio of them and put them as an album on Spotify at the end of the year. But it was funny because you'd get some people that would kind of be like, lovely musical ideas, but the piano really needs a tune. And then you'd have other people kind of arguing with them as like, what are you talking about? Fife knows this. And it was like this kind of weird, like, argument breaking out.
Fife's studio in London is decorated to complement his mind and his music. It's a fascinating creative space, which I absolutely loved from the moment I walked in with it. It's rugs, bright throws on sofas, pianos, a pile of keyboards that need fixing, and some more unique instruments. Then again, anything has been an instrument to Fife from the early days of Guillemots up until now.
We've got a drum kit here.
This is a full...
This is Greg from the band sort of basically cobbled this together from me, from bits of his old kits that... So we got that. We got my bed. That's where I sleep.
Oh, yeah.
And make love. We've got piano. We've had that one. Oh, we've got this thing. This is This is nice. This is a kind of zither.
Oh, it's like a not auto harp, I'm thinking of.
I don't know what you call it. But I've tuned it. I used this in a particular track, so I tuned the notes to this. And in fact, this tuning thing, the guy downstairs, Martin, made for me because I'd lost the tuning thing, and he boshed this together in 5 minutes. It was very, very
sort impressive. Of thing you'd hear Susan Sun for or Patrick Wolf play.
A little thumb piano here, which I never use. I mean, it's just there, but it looks nice. Oh, in this room, in the third room, which is a bit of a dump at the moment, this is the room in progress. We have a little toy piano. We have a tin of junk percussion, which I really like. I used to have a fantasy of having a massive room filled with, like, junk percussion.
Yeah.
But, hang on, let's not forget the recorder. What's that from? I keep hearing that. What is that?
It's studio at vectisradio.fm, if you know the theme tunes. And this is where Fife has been recording for the past 5 years. Sketches of songs, pieces for other artists, and recent releases such as Shook. It's a longer track at 8 minutes long, but that's just a little snippet from the wonderful Shook, a track from Fife Dangerfield from back in 2023.
Like, put it this way, like, I almost feel as if in some respects, I know that I will, but I feel like I never need to start a new note of music again in my life because I've got enough from these last 25 years that I can just work with those, and that would be plenty.
Baby, don't worry, I've got your back. Hold me now, there's nothing to hold us back.
So last time, when I interviewed you back in 2020,
yes.
March or early April 2020,
yes.
a popular month all round, I described you as an everyman, mistakenly, because I didn't know what the definition of a word is.
Right, I was going to say, what does that word
mean? I think it means someone who can't do much and isn't really... Like
jack of all trades. Or
that's what? I was aiming for jack of all trades, but instead I just went straight to master of none, and that wasn't what I meant.
Right.
What I was trying to say was jack of all trades.
Right.
But you now have a new nickname, so just for listeners' context, we're here with the wonderful Fife Dangerfield in his homecome studio in Stoke Newington. But last night you put on the soft launch of what you've just been discussing,
yes.
The stream, which I'll come to in a moment. But when you went to Barnard Castle, you got given a new description, which I think is better than, better than Everyman. What were you called?
Well, he wasn't specifically referring to me, but Simon, my friend who puts on gigs at this venue, was addressing the audience before and said something about the fact we're starting to have a number of international quality musicians playing here. And I was obviously, as soon as I went on stage, I was like, yeah, I just want to add to that. I do consider myself an international quality musician.
Had you heard of Barnard Castle before the whole pandemic?
No.
No, nor me.
No.
And now international quality musicians.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
What can you say?
Yeah.
You're now in this position where, like you were saying, you've got this whole tranche of material. I don't know if tranche is even the right word.
Yeah, let's
go with tranche. Fantastic sort of collection material, which you've recorded over the past, and it's not just, you know, the past 2 or 3 years, an album cycle thing. This is stuff as the train to Stratford goes past. this is music from the past 20, 25 years.
Yeah.
And beyond, you say on your website.
And beyond, I mean, there are some things in there from, like, the 80s. There's a few, well, certainly from the 90s. I think there's some even of me as a kid, but...
And you've just transferred it into a WAV and put it online.
I mean, there's not loads of that stuff in there, but yeah. I mean, this thing, I suppose I should try and explain what this thing is for the benefit of the listeners.
Yeah.
What I've put on the website is this thing is called The Stream. And The Stream is a never-ending, ever-changing, constantly evolving lighthouse transmission drawn from the ever-growing archive of my life in sound. Sketches of songs, productions in progress, improvisations, melodies in search of lyrics, chords in search of context, sounds in search of home, middle-of-the-night mumbles, renegade cartoon themes, choral and orchestral compositions, morning coffee walk insights, late-night epiphanies, dream beats, textures, musical zoomies, characters, spontaneous outpourings, searchings, findings, playings. Stretching from as far back as the 1980s to the very present day and beyond, recordings both unreleased, released, and to be released. A living, breathing album in the form of a radio station, broadcasting 24/7 with the running order curated by Chance. The stream is where ideas go to swim. I've been asked a lot by anyone who does like my music over the last 10, 15 years, it's like, are you working on a new album? And I'd always feel so guilty because I'd want to be like, yeah, yeah, yeah. But the reality was I'd feel like I was working on about 20 albums at one time because I don't work in a linear way. It's taken me a lot of years to accept that rather than feeling guilty about it and be like, I should. The should. We talked about, my therapist and I were joking about this once, but we're talking about the shoulds, and I just got this picture of like this army coming over the hill, here come the shoulds. Like, but it's like shoulds are not very helpful in life, and it's taken me a while to just be like, there's no should, like, this is how you are, accept it, it's fine. But and I love the way that I'm much more scattershot, but what that means is that I don't tend to be like, yeah, at the moment I'm sort of writing really sort of stripped down things with like loud bass, or you know, I just tend to be like piano ballad, mad noise, orchestra, it's, you know, all this stuff. I'd be like, right, let's sit down and try and write a pop song. Let's try. I was always, you know, that pop and universality is a huge part of what I feel like I'm meant to be doing. I've always felt like I'm meant to write songs that are known widely, and even though I haven't really yet.
That's interesting. I want to come to something which I found earlier, which I thought was very bizarre. Gil and Mott's first released their music 20 years ago. And to me, you ended up in this sort of strange scene of like post-punk revival, Enemy, Radio 1, MTV2, the Franz Ferdinands and the Young Knives. Not to disparage those bands, they're wonderful bands.
Yeah.
Did you ever feel out of place in that sense?
Holy. Yeah. And you're right. I mean, they are wonderful bands, those ones you mentioned and others, you know, Block Party and obviously coming off the bat of the Strokes and the Libertines and all. And it's all wonderful stuff. But at that age, when you're a bit more like, you know, I think, you know, now I'm like, you don't feel that sense of needing to prove yourself, and you just hear it and it's like, it's wonderful music. But like, I think I just felt this, we very much felt that we're not that.
Yeah.
But then, I mean, we always felt very much like we were too weird, if you like, to be mainstream, to be straight. But we weren't cool enough to be sort of considered like edgy or alternative. You know,
you should be very proud of songs like Tigers, for example, or Cockatiels are beautiful, rich, rewarding, free form pop songs. You should be very proud of that.
No, but look, I am. I mean, I'm not. If I sound like I'm down on myself, I'm not, like, you know, I'm a raging egotist. No, but I mean, like, I am really proud of all that stuff. Yeah. But what I mean is that, like, I think about this a lot at the moment. I find it quite interesting because I'm so proud of all the Guinness stuff. But the internal sense I have of what I'm meant to do in the world is that both the kind of songs those were and also the reach they had is only a tiny little appetite whetter for what I'm really meant to do. So in my head, I'm like, even though it would mean that it would be happening in my 40s or 50s or something, and there's no real model for that, as you know, but that's a whole other thing to talk about. But I feel like no, there's a whole, I can hear a certain kind of pop music that I haven't really made yet, but I have now got some tracks that I'm like, and in fact, the things that were going to be the Guillemots summer album 2012 were like that too, and they're still bubbling up. There's gradually being very patient and just allowing stuff to mature like wine or whatever. Like, I do now feel like I'm sitting on a lot of stuff that could be that. But, you know, it might not be. I mean, I can control, ultimately, I can control the music making, but I can't control how successful it is. Yeah. Like, I mean, I can only do my best to get it heard, but who knows? But I think these days I have so much more faith, which is a could sound like a loaded word, but in the lightest sense of that word. And when you do have that, I think you become a lot more trusting. So it's almost like, as long as I just feel like I'm showing up and doing my part, it's like, well, it's not up to me. It's just up to, I'll let the universe take care of it. If these songs are meant to become, you know, huge over the world, they are. And if they're only meant to be heard by a few thousand people, that's how it would be. Like, it's all good.
We'll hear more from Fife after the break. But before then, let's play you an example of what you can hear on the stream. Now, many of the pieces that you're hearing in this programme went out between 1.15 and 1.40pm yesterday afternoon. It's completely randomised, and you're not meant to hear pieces which have been picked and chosen by me. This is absolutely not how the stream is meant to be absorbed. But as a way of an example, here's one I quite liked from what went out on a wet Saturday afternoon in November. This is called Running and Running, Slice 2.
Thank you. sparks and shining dragon sighted.
Oh, I'm excited. This is the one. This is the one. I know it is.
We can get some background paper flickering sounds.
Come on,
sounds,
we're going to find it, Kieran. We're going to do it.
Wonderful. There you go.
Ah. I love
it. Very, very messy.
Sparks and shining dragons. I do. Wow. So this is like your first.
Yeah, I've even written down
notes.
Tempo 128. Because it was on. No, not that. It's on one of the Yamaha keyboards. Tempo 128, 079, Reg 1.
And these are.
Shall
your...
we get into. Alex, come on, let's okay. do this properly. Hang on. If I'm going to find you. It might not be the exact same keyboard, but I'm going to find you the key. I'm going to type in those settings, and in theory.
You should be able to get.
No, it's one of these. It's one of these ones. Let's see if this works. Tempo 128. Oh man. No, this is it, this is it. Hang on. This is it. That's the beat. The start of Love Song. And then it was like, okay, I haven't written down the keyboard, but it would have been like that was it, I think. Yeah. That was it. So it's because that we built the recording on my four-track demo. So yeah. That would have been yeah. And then there would have been I love you. I don't think you care. And I would have done. Anyway, you got into that. So yeah, there you go. That's yeah.
Wow.
There we go.
That is. You see, for
a little bit of F-list music history, you know.
If you're just joining us, we're joined on the New Music Show today by Fife Dangerfield, who invited me down to his studio in Stoke Newington in London. We're talking about various things, including his time in Guillemots, as well as his songwriting process, and now his new project, The Stream.
What I was saying about the pop song, I'd often sit down and be like, try and write one. And what would happen was that I'd sit down, maybe the first 20, 30 minutes, nothing's happening. But then something happens, but quite often it wouldn't really be what I was intending. So I'd be trying to write a breezy pop song, and instead maybe it would be some weird folky acoustic thing that, you know, in this odd low vocal, or maybe it would be like a weird ambient meandering or whatever. But there'd be all this stuff, but I didn't really know what it was. And so I would just make a MP3 reference of it and then be like, oh, don't know what that is, but I'll come back to it someday. You just end up with all this stuff. And also realizing that, like, I've realized in recent years that, you know, I could labor over. I mean, for example, of tracks I've put out the last few years, which is not many, but in 2023 I released a few songs. So there's a song, Shook, which is like kind of the soundtrack of me like spiraling into a very dark place. But like, that's me at my full, like, frenzied attention to detail production thing. It's like micro sounds, you know, if you listen on headphones, things moving around, there's so much detail in it, and I'm dead proud of it, like, you know. And I feel like it kind of, it's very much my own production style, and I sort of feel like, well, I don't know what the reference points would be for that, like it feels like it's very much my own thing. On the other hand, the song I put out, well, a few months after that, is a song called SFJ. And that was recorded on that piano next door. One microphone, it was literally just that thing where you're like, oh, I think I feel like having a tiny little sing. And I've got my little mic going into an amp with reverb on it, improvised, and that was it. Like, it happened as you hear it. And it's those extremes, and it's sort of realizing that, well, for one person, they'll be like, oh my God, I love that stuff where you've got 5,000 sounds. Someone else will be, yeah, I prefer the one where it's just you and the piano. But I've built up all this stuff. And yeah, the idea of the stream, it just gradually sort of dawned on me. It's just like, yes, I do want to put out conventional albums where I am curating them and choosing. But I think I've got so waterlogged, I'm finding it impossible right now to make any decisions because I literally have hundreds, thousands of bits and pieces of ideas and tracks and works in progress. And so it almost feels like in order to even have a chance of just being able to be like, let's choose 10 tracks, I have to get all this stuff just off my computer and out into the world. Yeah. And so making that decision and being, yeah, so just upload them into this server and then all this stuff is there. And it's about moments, like the sort of curation process for this thing, the stream. It's not about craft or finesse. And I'm not anti-craft and finesse. I love them. This is about mood and feeling and atmosphere.
Can I read out some titles?
Oh, you tuned in, did you?
Yeah. Well, I don't think I wrote down all the titles, but I wrote down a description of the six pieces I heard on there. I need the Tony Hart music over this. Anyway,
Tony Hart music.
It's Left Bank 2. I play it a lot on breakfast.
I remember the Heartbeat tune.
Is it that? Yeah.
Well, hang on. I can give you. Do you remember that?
I do, but it's not that I'm thinking of. Oh, no.
I don't know why I remember that.
It's the music from, there's the art sort of guy called Tony Hart.
Yes.
And he had the...
But I think Heartbeat was Tony Hart as well, but I think it was a different Tony Hart thing.
It might be, yeah.
I think. Anyway.
I'm thinking of that, but yes. So the description from that is... A French language song featuring Dr. Walrus.
Yes.
At one point he goes, "Birth." I enjoyed that.
What was that?
I laughed at the bus stop there.
Yes! What was that, Doctor? I'm going to check out what that is now. I'm going to look in the back end. I can't... Yeah, all right.
There's a number more. A sketch featuring Dr. Bank and Dr. Change.
Yes. I think I know that. Or was that the song called Bank in the Change?
It might be.
For some reason, I don't know why, but I found it quite amusing to just start... naming a lot. Obviously a lot of it just says Fife Dangerfield, but quite a few of the things I've decided to name as all these fictional doctors. Don't really know why.
I mean, there's one called Mud Flats No Birds, which is a little piano thing from 2013. I really like this, a dueling guitars piece called Heaven Help Us All. And that, even though this is sort of, like I say, you're emptying your brain, and is there 3,000 pieces which are going onto the stream? You know, you hear those things where you go, that's a Zebra Wind, that's a She Needs Me. You could put that into something like that. Something called Turquoise Black Ideas 4. And this I really enjoyed. A trip hop piece called The Hotness Syrup Ladle to the Mouth.
Yes.
So that's what played for half an hour after the concert at the old church last night. Also, there was one called which was Don't Set the Gold on Fire.
Don't Set Fire to the Gold.
That's it. Don't Set Fire to the Gold. Slice 3. Do you know if there was there a slice 1 or a slice 2?
Yeah, there is. Yeah, they're as well.
It's not sort of... There are ideas which develop.
One like that, Don't Set Fire to the Gold, that was because... the whole piece lasts probably about 25 minutes or something. So I was like, even I have my limits. Because it's that thing again. It's like, am I getting bored? You know, so I was like, right, that one, we're going to split it into like maybe 4 7-minute chunks or whatever, you know. So
it's eclectic, it's genreless. Do you ever think like, because we talked about this only, you know, like 5 6 minutes ago, about the idea of being pigeonholed. Do you think that the liberty of this or the freedom within this is the fact that you can't be pigeonholed because there's so much there, because you have the creativity within yourself just to put out this whole tranche of material and say, find something in that?
Yeah, I mean, two things. You used the word liberty there, and it's a lovely word. I think, in fact, I haven't quite thought of it like that, but you just made me think. I think it's the act of presenting yourself creatively to the world usually involves, by its nature, some form of... figuring out how to present yourself.
Yeah.
What's it going to look like? What do I want people to think? You know, what's the artwork going to look? How should I talk? What wording should I? Because it's all in the thing of like, how do I best get this idea across to people in the way that I would like it to be received? Even though ultimately you can't control what people think, or certainly for me, there's always this sense of like packaging it in some way,
mm-hmm.
you know, in the most general sense of that word.
Yeah.
And I think as much as I do enjoy doing that, because my natural inclination is just to create and create and create. Yeah. The point of the stream is like to just have a place where you can just hear creations. Here's a creative idea, right? I want all your ideas to come up and audition for a place on this album or for a place in there. And it's kind of this idea of, no, what if there was a place where all these ideas can just can hang out and just meet each other and just chat? And it's like they don't need to be anything more than they are.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not only going to release unreleased music, unfinished music from now on. Like, you know, it's not like I've suddenly anti... I love that process of chipping away and chiseling but ultimately, more and more in recent years, I find myself drawn to unrefined, unfinessed sides of what people do because there's something really true about it. It's like, I mean, a lot of stuff that is in the stream was never meant to be heard by anyone. I mean, a lot of it was too. A lot of it is early versions. But leaving voice memos to myself of like an idea for a melody, when I'm doing that, I'm not, at that point, I wasn't thinking... I didn't have the stream. I wasn't thinking, oh, this will go in the stream. I was like, well, this is just for my reference.
Yeah.
And there's something really pure about that. And like, I again, in this long form piece I wrote, I'm so aware what the criticism of this could be. I can imagine someone going, well, I've got to hand it to you. You have single-handedly come up with the most self-indulgent, navel-gazing project anyone could... What on earth makes you think anyone is going to be interested to listen to all your scrapping offcuts? And like...
That doesn't matter if you back yourself, right?
Well, I mean, that's what I mean. I think it's useful to think that because I respect that someone might have that opinion. I mean, no one has said that to me yet, but I can imagine they might. But I do stand by it because what I feel is like, no, but still, my criteria is like, does this make you feel something? Does it evoke a mood? Does it have an energy to it? I keep using this analogy, but I think it is quite a good one. Like, if you're walking past a building and you hear music playing inside and the doors open and you're like, this sounds great, I love this. It's like, what's... And you go in and there's a band playing and you kind of sit down quietly at the back and listen and eventually the band stop and you're kind of like, that was great. Like, what was that? And they're like, oh, we're just jamming. Like, it's just some new idea. Feels like maybe it could be a cool song or something. Like, you would not go, I don't want to hear it. Sorry, I'm going to leave now. Like, I'll give you my email. When you finished it and structured it, send me a version. I'd love to hear it then. But I wish I could undo that. You were listening to the act of creation itself, but it's making you feel something. So what if you're hearing a band? If you're hearing a... I mean, there's plenty of things in the stream where you're hearing me... The way I write lyrics often is to just sing and sing over and over again on top of a track. And every time, maybe you'll get a couple of lines. You're like, that's good. So there's things like that in there.
Mm.
But you're listening to it. And if you like my voice, which you might not, but if you like my voice, then you're listening to a singer that you like singing over some music that maybe you like as well. Does it matter if half the time I'm just mumbling words that don't make sense? You know, it's got feel. And it's such an epiphany for me to gradually realize that. It's like, because the conventional way of thinking would just be like, well, you can't release this. You got to... But it's like, well, why not? It's like, if it's got emotion in it, and maybe, you know, maybe there'll be a certain way that my voice cracks on a certain line, even though the lyric doesn't make sense. So I'm like, well, as a song, from an editorial viewpoint, I can't use that. But yeah, maybe I'll never manage to quite get that same emotion on a vocal take where I sing the finished lyric.
because you're very much, you are yourself, you're in a sense, you're a one-man band, even though you work with other people on various different things, and there are sketches in there, which I'm sure you haven't been the only person solely responsible
for. No, there are other people in there, yeah.
I think for me, you are only liable to yourself. Mm-hmm. You own your own website. You own this sort of production of Channels May mm-hmm. Change. And it's not like you've got a marketing team of 20 people behind you going, oh God, Fife Dangerfield's just done this and this is what he wants to do. You're not Dylan going electric because there's not people who are going to receive a paycheck that you are going to be liable to. Well, gives you the freedom,
exactly.
The liberty.
Exactly. I mean, everything has a flip side. And I think the flip side of not being very successful, you know.
Well, I don't think because...
But you know what I mean? I'm being a bit flippant, but I'm in a very privileged position where I can play shows. You know, I'm playing shows at the moment to maybe 100 people or something. Mm. I know that to a lot of people that sounds like nothing, but it's like, it's also not nothing. And it's like, I'm very lucky that there are people, generally people that know my music from like you do from like 20 years ago, but that stuff had a place in their lives and they want to come and see me play live. And I'm really appreciative of the position I'm in. But I'm just also, you know, I am an incredibly small fish in a very big pond at the moment. But having been in a position where at one point I was a bit of a bigger fish, like, it is a lovely good point about not having that. That, yes, you don't have anyone, you know, banking on you to be successful, you know, needing you to sell copies of your record. Because it's like, I don't have that at the moment. And as you say, that does afford you this. And I think that was conscious anyway, because I think part of the reason I moved away from that world was because I kind of was like when I put out my solo record, my first solo record, Fly Yellow Moon, I won't name many names, but conversations went on for months about what the first track on the record would be. Because as it ended up being, and as I wanted it, the first track on the record was this song, When You Walk In The Room. And I start by screaming. In a euphoric way, because I was very happy and I was just so enjoying the sound of the music. It was just a great moment. But all these conversations went on about, like, I think it's a really bad idea to start with that. You've already got this thing where people think Guillemots are sort of overly quirky, and like starting your record with a scream, it really sends them. And there was this big movement, no, you should start with Faster Than the Setting Sun. And have. I, at that point, was not, even though I could be very stubborn, I still didn't have enough deep confidence in myself to just respectfully listen, but go, I hear you, but no. So I was really like, oh God, shouldn't I? And it went on for ages, and the universe kind of did a lovely thing where eventually I was like, go on then, we'll start it with Faster Than the Setting Sun. And the CDs got pressed, and then there was some error on the CDs and the test pressings, and they had to be redone.
Yeah, because it opens with When You Walk In The Room.
So at that point, I was just like, that's a sign. It's going back to, and I did finally go, I'm not discussing it anymore. But like, I'm not blaming the people around me, because they were just trying to do their job, and they were, trying to manage. I mean, a lot of my experience of the music industry was fear-based decisions. Like, I think when you're making decisions, there's generally two types of, you're generally either making a decision based from fear or from what you could very loosely call love. And by love, I mean joy or excitement or just the joy of creation, you know. But it's like, you're either doing it from a place of let's do it, or you're doing it from a place of we've got to be careful here, because if we don't get this right, something's, you know, we've got to manage, we've got to try and avoid things going wrong, rather than let's just think about what could go right. Because when you walk in the room, I see things that I can't understand. Oh. But again, having this now, I'm like, well, this is my main album. Like, ultimately, the stream for the rest of my life is really, that's my album. You want to hear my album? There it is. Yeah. It changes all the time. It's got 146 hours of stuff in the moment, and it will just keep growing. It resets every day at midnight. So essentially every day is a 24-hour playlist that is different, drawn from the huge bank of stuff. But like, now I feel more, yeah, do you know what? I am going to do an album of like really middle-of-the-road covers or whatever, because, or as I can, because I don't feel like, that's representing me solely, because I'm like, well, this is my main representation of who I am. So then for sure, then you can take little windows of that and just have that. Whereas I think without doing this, I'd almost feel like everything I released had to somehow have a little bit of everything of me in it.
Things are very conventional, and they've had to be conventional because it's what the technology has allowed. When you had a vinyl record, say, I'm going to say 50s, 60s, I'm not going to go as far back as 78s, you had as much music as can fit on wax one side and mm-hmm. then another side. And eventually someone said, we could just make two of those. It becomes a double album. And then a CD, it's 80 minutes. Mm. But then if you want to make the Beatles' White Album on CD, it's 160 yeah. minutes. Yeah. What you've got now as part of the stream is something which, to me, instead, you know, the new album length is bandwidth, essentially. Right, and you've got right. the bandwidth to put 137 hours, did you say? 146 hours.
At the moment, yeah.
9 bonus hours straight away.
Yeah.
Of content that you have for him. That they could be sketches. They could be a thing called Don't Set Fire to the Goal. it can be a trip-hop song or a French, you know, monologue complete with some little different bits and pieces. But the quality of it is, like you're saying, what I'm sort of assessing there is the fact that you've got all this space to do whatever the hell you want. Mm. And I think it's a very privileged position to be in.
Thank you.
And I don't think you take it for granted. Instead, you embrace it.
Yeah, no, I don't take it for granted. I think that's what I mean. It's quite a hard-earned freedom. It's come through the opposite, as most things do. You know, you often get to a place of more light through darkness. And yeah. I think you often get to freedom through, like, often feeling really not free. And, you know, but then it's like, well, what's wrong here? Why am I not feeling free? And I don't know. I just really believe in this. I suppose it's a twofold thing, because it's like, I really believe in the idea. But if it doesn't matter how good the idea is, if the stuff in it is not good. But I also really like what's in there.
Now, I'll be completely honest with you, listener. I wanted to keep this to an hour, and we chatted for about an hour and a half or so, and we're not going to. I want to include the other stuff we're talking about. So, this is the end of the hour of the show. I'll play a little bit of music from Fife's recent Birdwatcher collection, and then we'll move into the third hour, and we'll have a little bit more of a chat with Fife. If you listen to this online, then you won't hear the music, but you will hear more from Fife Dangerfield in a few minutes. First, from the Birdwatcher project, this is called Woe Life. Again, if you want to hear the full version of this program with all the available music in it, then head over to mixcloud.com/Vectis Radio iPlayer.
The new music show on Vectis Radio with Kieran Thompson.
Fife Dangerfield with The Zebra Wind, released back in 2023. This is the new music show on Vectis Radio. It's Kieran Thompson here until 10 p.m. tonight. If you're listening on air, if you're listening online to the recorded version, then we've still got about 15 minutes or so chat with Fife Dangerfield, who we're speaking to today about the launch of The Stream, a brand new project on his Channels May Change program online at channelsmaychange.com. If you're just tuning in, you may best know Fife Dangerfield for his time in Guillemot. You may know him for his solo work, and now you will know him for The Stream, which is a new project which contains over 140 hours of music. We're going to chat a bit more about that. We're also going to chat about some of his Birdwatcher stuff, which was a project he released around 2018-2019. And we're also going to speak about new music that he's listening to, or more new music that he's been influenced to listen to by his son. Let's dive back in.
Are you on Instagram or your Facebook?
Yeah, I'm Instagram.
Yeah. So, like, I guess in a way I've almost been road testing. Well, not road testing it, because I was doing it anyway, but I'll often be sitting at the studio in the evenings, and I'll be tuning into the stream really excitedly. And quite often I'll hear a certain track and I'll be like, oh, I'm loving this. And would just then find a random video that I filmed of just, you know, some slow-mo train journey or whatever, and like screen record a bit of it with that music playing in the background and put like a clip of it on Instagram, just a 45 minute clip or whatever.
It's interesting you say that, because one of the things I wrote down in my rather scrappy notebook is visual music for visual media something that you would develop into? I remember when I saw Guillemots at, you're looking at Portsmouth Pyramids, I think, or maybe even Southampton Guildhall back in late 2000s. The support act was yourselves with a banner up. And projections. No, is that something you'd do?
I'd love to. It's just, if for whatever reason, hasn't happened much yet, but I'd love it to. But it's also something I'm getting really interested in making, well, both myself and collaborating with people making videos too. Like a friend of mine is actually, he's actually made a video for one of the tracks that's going to come out on, you know, the DSPs. And it was amazing how this video, which he already had the idea for the video, he just asked me to send him a few random tracks. So I sent him three or four and he chose one. It's mad how his video doubles the emotional impact of the track for me. When you see the two together, I'm like, oh, wow. Suddenly this feels like a really beautiful track, which I liked it before, but I didn't, you know. But I mean, and also just to come back to the, quickly to finish the point I was making earlier on, that what's been nice about uploading those things to Instagram is that, because these will just be random, very often random things that are like, maybe they're only named by like the date, you know, their file name is like 90813. Mm-hmm. You know, slice two or whatever. But what's so gratifying or encouraging is that usually when I do that, there'll be one or two people on Instagram that'll be like, when are you going to release this track? And it was just like, okay, so I'm not going mad. I am right. Someone else is hearing this, yeah. And they think it's like a proper track. And I'm like, well, it's just a thing. I don't know what it is. But again, it just gives me that faith that it's like, really, people just want to hear. We all just want to hear or see or experience anything that opens up our hearts and makes us feel something.
Serious, are you such a serious boy? You could use some more butter in your brain. Iridescent confidence lies within your self-defense. Hey. Here's two pence, I trust you with my gold. Let go as you hold. Crystal laughter, crystal laughter, crystal laughter's on the way.
I think it was Natasha Bedingfield was saying in an interview that her prediction is that because AI is becoming such a thing, and as I said, you know, I'm definitely not anti-AI. I find it fascinating. I think we have to be careful with it, but I think it's huge creative, imaginative possibilities there. It's a matrix, you know. It's so easy to make very good-sounding music, very professional-sounding music now.
Yeah.
And I think maybe, she was kind of saying, I think maybe as a reaction to that, people are going to start craving really rough, raw, human, intimate recordings that sort of AI kind of couldn't fake.
Yeah, you're going to take it back to, well, I say take it back, but you're going to find this different type of art form which you make sure is something that's so personal and creative and of your abilities that AI can't fake it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure AI technically could fake someone voice memoing some ideas to them, you know, but like, I think the point is there's an intimacy to hearing, you know, it's like when you hear, I mean, it's the famous thing is demos. It's like, you know, it's the difference of, like John Lennon or something, like hearing, you know, the studio version of Woman or whatever, which is beautiful and I love it. But, you know, you can hear on YouTube or wherever, you can hear the recording of him strumming his acoustic at home, writing that song. And it's like, in a way, it's like, well, that's even more moving. But I know there's an argument to be said, well, yeah, but first you hear the song properly and then it's more interesting to hear.
Snoring cats,
it's not raining dogs and pigs are not flying or turning the cogs and the sun has no head on.
I'm very aware that in a way I'm sort of doing things in reverse. It's like rather than, you know, giving people the really polished stuff first and then you're like, oh, here's the anthology. I'm doing the anthology before I've got the singles. And
it's interesting because when you're describing, you know, the demos and takes and all that, Beatles are about to release their next set of anthology and every so often you'll get a track come up on the streaming service that says, you know, I feel free, take 17. Exactly that.
I mean, they are exhausting it a bit now. I mean, I love the Beatles, but it's like, all right, guys, come on. Like,
but you put it well, you know, you've released your anthology before you've released your next, what you would call anyway, your next record.
And I can see it from a marketing standpoint, that's like suicide. But I mean, you know, what can
that's
you do?
Fine.
You've got to do what you've got to do, haven't you?
Also, you had 100 people in the old church in Stoke Newington last night, and I sensed they were very core fans. And I think that's the audience who are going to appreciate 146 hours of Five Dangerfield.
So. I mean, but this is the thing. I'm aware this time round. I say this time round, as opposed to Birdwatcher 7 years ago. I'm aware this time round that it's probably going to be a niche thing. You know, when I did Birdwatcher, I really thought people are going to flock to this. And again, I put this in the long form piece, but I remember doing that, you know, because this series, Birdwatcher, without going into it too much, it's like 12 episodes of a mixture of music and sounds and some spoken word, and each about 25 minutes long.
Yeah.
And there's artwork for each one. It's a whole world. And across the series, there's like maybe 4.5 hours of stuff. And I so remember like doing that, but it wasn't on Spotify. It's just on the website, on channelsmaychange.com. I remember every week, I didn't even have Instagram then, but I'd be posting on Twitter, oh, episode 5 is up. You know, and in the coming months after I did that, I'd get messages like, when are you going to release some new music? And I was like, ah! You know, because I was like, what do you want from me? Like, but it also made me understand that a lot of people are just like, I'm not interested in some website. You know, I want my tracks. And you know, and I respect that. And so I'm not, this is not like me, in a way, it's like, and 7 years later, I've doubled down again. But it's like, it's not meant to be doubling down. It's like, I am going to do that too. There's just something very unromantic about the streaming method of releasing music. I use it. I use Spotify. I'm not like anti it, but it's not very kind of romantic. Yeah,
no,
it's like, you know, it's very it's like a filing system, you know, and I, you know, I for me, Channels May Change and the things on it. So, you know, we have Birdwatcher, now we have the stream, and there's going to be all sorts of other things. It just feels a lot more like an open plane, you know, like yeah, it's
Well, congratulations on it, really, because it's. I think it takes a lot to open up the archives and to be confident of the archives as well, because I imagine there are people who sit there and say, I don't want take 12 of this to go out, you know?
Well, that was it. That was a big part of the process. I mean, I haven't put everything in there. I this is why it took me so long, because I've spent a year over a year listening to everything. And I was like, if I'm listening to it and going, this is boring, I don't put it in, you know? But like...
Do you have highlights?
Oh, yeah. I mean, but, like, it depends what mood I'm in. I mean, that's the point. Yeah, that's, you know, it's like, that's the whole thing with it. Yeah. But, like, that was also part of the thing I had to get over, that sometimes I'd be listening to something and I'd love the first minute or something, and then the next, I'd hit a bad note, or I'd be like, oh, that bit's... And then it would get better again, and there was the part of me that's like, nah, let's not put this one in. It's not... And then gradually I was like, nah, stop just trying to be brilliant. Stop... putting this pressure on yourself, every second needs to be as good as you could possibly be. It's like, no, it's fine. Like, it's a moment. This is not about perfection. It's about a moment. It's about atmosphere.
It goes into the harbor and out to the sea. Over the valleys of intimacy. The fly in the basin, the stone on the sand.
And this is why I think I called you an everyman 5-6 years ago. A, because I didn't know what the term meant clearly, but also because you have the freedom, the confidence, the ability to go and do something like this. You know, something like Birdwatcher, away from a conventional album, it being 6, 7, 8 years since you released a conventional album. It felt like something unique and surreal. And we were talking just before we hit record about Chris Morris and how we both really enjoy the works of Chris Morris and the surrealism behind that. But it's born out of a place where you have put things together and they're creative and they're interesting, but they also still contain the key elements that you've done before. Like, I listened to episode, I think, 4 on the way here. Mm-hmm. And it's got the Lorando track,
Lorando, yes,
and Humans.
Yes.
And those are two brilliant, wonderful tunes, but they fit really well in this episode because there's a narrative, there's an arc,
yes,
and it works really well.
So tell me, how exactly do you do it? Open up these doors and slip me through them. There's a dancer in your gaze. Let her sway. Let her sway the world. What a day, what a feeling. Let it stage with our love. What a woman, what a way. She don't question my commitment. The answer's in her patience. She's got grace. She's my way. I love you.
That's a case in point where I like the version that is in that episode, but still, to me, there's a different version of that song, which really should be sung by a Spanish language singer. And, you know, so it's like, it's almost like that version in the episode is still a prototype of what it could be.
I snipped that song,
right,
and sent it to, because we played it on the new music show. I sent it to my dad, along with a few of them, like Humans was one of them, Swoon as well. And I sent it to my dad, and my dad, in sort of the last 3 or 4 years, he's changed his job. He now works as a front of house manager for a Bali-made furniture store on the Isle of Wight called Oasis. Oh, listeners will know Oasis. And they gave him the chance to put on whatever music he wanted. And he'd create MP3 discs of stuff like Steely Dan and stuff like that. But he also put on Loranda. Wow. So somewhere on the Isle of Wight, there's a furniture store playing the music of Birdwatcher.
Well, this is the thing. And now the intention is that I will start putting out all sorts of compilations of, I'm going to call them stream drops on Spotify, where some of the tracks from Birdwatcher 2 can start finding their way onto the DSPs and stuff like that. I know you've got to wind it down, but like, to come back to Chris Morris, that is just a huge influence on me. All those, you know, the day to day, but then also your Blue Jam and Brass Eye and all that. He made me think with the stream at one point. I heard some interview with, I don't remember whether it was Noel Fielding or Richard Iwadi, but one of them was saying that, I'm pretty sure it was those three, Chris Morris, Richard Iwadi, and Noel Fielding, for a while would meet up once a week and just record, just improvise for hours and like record it all. And I was like, love to hear that.
Yeah,
but that's exactly the kind of reason I'm doing the stream, that is sitting on Chris Morris's hard drive, because, and I'm not criticizing him, but presumably because he never quite figured what it was for. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't get heard, but I guarantee you, you listen to it, it'd be hilarious, like three brilliant comic minds. Like, so, you know, it makes me sad that so many people out there must have all this brilliant stuff sitting there that hasn't got out, essentially, because, as I said earlier on, they haven't figured out the packaging. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, well, what if you don't care about the packaging? Like, imagine if Chris Morris had a stream. I would be listening to that every day. Yeah. You know, and I suppose in some weird part of me, it's like, God, imagine if other people started doing their own streams. Like, I'd love that, you know? Like,
I've spent many years of my life wanting to knock on the door of musicians, bands, artists, and say, go on, just let us hear something.
Yeah.
And what you've
Dave
done really...
Alban, that's another one. Sorry to interrupt you, but he... I've seen him talk about, and in some of those programs, he'll play clips of some of his demos. They all sound amazing. I'm like, I want to hear these, man. Like, don't, you know...
I see posts on Instagram where someone goes, oh, you won't believe I just found the first demo CD we recorded as a band.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, if you're not fussed, can I have it?
Yeah.
It's that. And what you've done is you've opened the tranche, you said earlier.
Exactly, just open up the gate and we'll come in, have a listen, you know.
So, yeah, I do have to slightly wrap it up.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
One last question I wanted to ask you. Do you listen to a lot of new music? Are you into things at the moment?
I have to be honest, I mean, like, in the last year or so, I'm pretty much just listening to my own music because I'm so... I do listen. Largely, the new music I listen to is actually through my son, who is really into hip-hop and stuff. It ain't tricking if you got it, but you like a bitch with no way. You ain't got shit. Motherfucker, I'm ill, not sick, and I'm okay, but my watch sick. Yeah, my drop sick. So, sort of through him... and me just, like, you know, I was listening to that Clips album quite a bit.
Oh, yeah. I forgot what it's called now. What Gods?
Chains and Whips. Yeah. Won't Let God Sort Them Out, is that?
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
And there'll be certain tracks. I mean, this is ridiculous and slightly embarrassing to admit, but because me and my boy's mum ultimately sort of made the call to go the direction of just let him listen to anything rather than he has to listen to the explicit, you know, the censored versions. Yeah. I think both paths have problems with them, you know, but I think ultimately it felt like if we made it more prohibitive, it might just make it more attractive. And as long as he understands he can't go around swearing, and also, especially with rap, he can't go, you know, that rappers will use their tracks to express emotions, but that doesn't mean that you can actually go around doing these things they talk about. But anyway, about a year ago or something, like, he was like playing me tracks, and I'd never heard A Millie by Lil Wayne, which once you get over the thing of like, my 9-year-old boy is playing me this track, the chorus line is, mother, I'm ill, not sick. You know, I'm like, oh, cheers, son, that's a good... But it's an absolutely brilliant track. I mean, because someone like Lil Wayne, or anything like that, it's about the swagger, it's about the delivery. And like, when he says that, you absolutely, he's like, yeah, I'm not... You know, I'm ill. I'm not sick. You know, it's like I'm a level up from sick.
And you're making an album with him, right?
The
Emeralds.
I'd love that.
Oh, sorry, I thought you meant with Lil Wayne.
No, yeah, you and Lil Wayne or something.
Yeah, I'm making an album with Faden, yeah, and some of his mates. Yeah.
I wrote down it sounded like, last night, the track you played at the show. Is it called
Slow Bang? Yeah.
It sounds like So What You Want by Beastie Boys. That's what it felt like.
Nice. Yeah.
And to recreate that at 9-10 years old, I think is impressive.
Yeah, no, it's...
And by recreate, I don't mean a rip-off. I mean just to immediately put yourself in that sound frame. I think you've all done really well there.
Thank you. Yeah.
Right. Well, I mean, we've been recording for an hour and quarter. Good. So, yeah, I'm impressed with that. Yeah. Fife Dangerfield, thank you very much.
Pleasure. Thank you very much, Kieran.
As found on the stream, that's Fife Dangerfield with Fife, It's Only Music. Thanks ever so much to Fife for allowing me into his world, allowing me into his studio and being able to chat to him about the stream, which is live now at channelsmaychange.com/the stream. As Fife said there, it reloads every 24 hours. You're going to hear something different. You might hear something the same in a different order maybe, but you're going to hear something fresh and new every time you go onto the website from the mind of Fife Dangerfield. Thanks for tuning in tonight. As I said before, if you're listening to the streaming version of this, then you'll be able to hear the full version with all the music over at mixcloud.com/VectisRadio iPlayer. I've been Kieran Thompson. Thanks for tuning in.
The new music show on Vectis Radio with Kieran Thompson.